As Anya, Zach, Dave, and Garin dug out the walls of the tunnel, piles of loose gravel, dirt, and small stones grew around them like the walls of a great fortress. After a while, Anya couldn't ignore the sweat building up under her clothes, the ache of her abused ribs, or the fact that her snow pants were very restrictive.
I hope that there's a shower at the end of this tunnel.
Dave came by and handed her a water bottle.
Here. Make sure you keep your fluid intake up. You'll dehydrate quickly down here without even knowing it.
Thanks.
Anya swallowed down most of the water and then paused. Dave made the rounds, handing bottles to Zach and Garin. Garin glanced at the bottle as if it were dredged from the sewer.
Not your usual vintage?
Garin swallowed some and blanched.
Not by the longest stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, well, it'll keep you from dehydrating and dying. So there's got to be something said for that.
Indeed.
Anya finished her water and stowed the bottle in the loose pile of dirt nearby. She'd refill it later. Dave eyed the spot where Garin had been digging.
Where were you assigned before you came down to these parts anyway?
I believe I told Anya earlier a little something about things being classified. It's not really necessary information anyway, is it?
Probably not. You just seem a little odd to me, that's all. You know, my gut keeps nudging me.
Does that happen often?
You should have seen him at dinner last night.
Dave glanced over and smiled. Then he got to his feet.
Yeah, well, whatever, Major. You just keep on digging and we'll see what we see.
Garin watched him walk away. For her part, Anya was amazed that Dave would have the courage to speak to Garin like that. It presented a problem. Anya knew that if Garin thought that Dave was too much of a bother, there was every chance he would simply kill him and be done with it. Of course, it would have to look like an accident to allay suspicion. Anya didn't want anyone killing anyone. She just wanted to find more artifacts and try to piece together who or what had made them. The chances of that happening, however, seemed to be getting smaller and smaller with each passing minute. After 3 more hours of digging, they broke for lunch. Dave had once again gone back up to get them the cardboard-boxed meals ready to eat that soldiers ate in the field. He handed them out to everyone and then plopped himself down in the nearest pile of dirt and tore into his. Anya read the label on hers, the ham stew, and frowned.
Ooh, this is going to be nothing like dinner last night, is it?
Not even close.
This one is pasta. I abhor spaghetti and meatballs. Anyone willing to trade theirs?
Here.
Anya pitched her box to Garin, who threw his to her. Anya grabbed it.
Classy.
Anya finished her pouch. She took another swig of water and settled back against the dirt.
How are you feeling, Anya?
Fine.
Ribs?
A-okay.
Ribs? What happened? Was there an accident of some sort?
Back in McMurdo, I was attacked walking back to my dorm room. Someone drove their pointy little elbow into my side and cracked a rib or two. Hurt like hell. Then they tried to run me over with a snowcat.
The important thing is she's okay. And she seems better every day. Hell, yesterday I didn't think she was going to last 20 minutes in a snowcat driving out here, but she weathered it like a trooper. I wouldn't have even guessed you'd had a busted bone in your body, Anya.
Really? What did you do? Heal yourself overnight so that by morning you were perfectly fine?
The power of positive thinking, I guess.
Fascinating.
Garin tipped a small bottle of hot sauce from his meal into his mouth and swallowed it all in one gulp.
Ah!
Dave eyed Garin, his eyebrows almost to his hairline.
Want some water with that?
Not at all.
Zach bundled up his trash and placed it in a small pile by the entrance to the cavern.
Well, I'm all done. You guys ready to get back to work?
Yeah.
Anya handed Zach her trash and then heaved her shovel back into the hole. Jumping down, her boots hit the loose dirt, and she stood there for a moment, lost in thought. Garin wandered by, glanced over casually to check that the others weren't paying attention, and looked back at Anya.
You have healing powers now, Anya?
I don't think the injury was as bad as we first thought.
Liar.
Pot, meet the kettle.
Garin wandered off, and Anya hefted her shovel. She slid the blade into the soft earth and started digging again. It had been a while since she'd been on a dig like this. She'd forgotten how the close confines of working inside could have a claustrophobic effect on her. She shook her head and got back into a rhythm. With luck, they'd find something soon, and then be able to get some fresh, frigid air. She got back into her digging rhythm, letting the repetitive effort lull her.
Guys, I think I found something here.
Anya sensed a rush behind her, as Zack, Dave, and Garin all fell over themselves trying to be the first to see what she'd discovered. Anya smiled.
Relax. I haven't pulled it out of the dirt just yet. My shovel hit something.
And you think?
Yeah, Zack, I'm pretty sure.
Garin slid down toward the hole.
So, let's see this grand discovery.
Yeah, what is it?
Anya slid the shovel back into the dirt.
Is that it?
She handed Zack the shovel and reached her hands into the soil. Her fingers searched the soil, spreading out, until at last their tips brushed something.
I've got it.
Everyone leaned closer as she pulled the item free from the dirt. Clumps of soil fell away as she lifted it up.
Wow.
Holding it in front of herself, Anya studied the piece she'd found. It was comprised of three snakes again, each snake biting the other so they formed a triangle around a central circle that had a sparkling blue stone set right into the middle of it.
Is that a sapphire?
Could be, I don't know.
You've certainly managed to find the most exciting piece so far. Is it heavy?
Seems to be made from the same metal as the necklace. And I'm assuming the kettle and the pot were made of the same.
According to the colonel, they were. It's an incredible piece you got there, Anya. May I see it?
Anya handed the item to Dave. He peered closer.
Well, the cuts on this stone aren't something I would think could be accomplished with ordinary primitive hand tools.
So what are you saying? The stones were cut by a laser or something like that?
Well, some type of machinery, I would expect. They're far too precise. Of course, we're supposing that they didn't have elaborate machinery back then. It'd be hard to prove that they did.
Dave handed it to Zack, who rubbed some more of the dirt off the piece.
This is fantastic, Anya. I knew you'd be a source of good luck on this dig.
Anya smiled. She turned then, aware that Garin was staring at her.
Well done, Miss Creed.
Thanks.
Zack handed the piece to Garin, who took quite a few minutes to examine it. He turned it over and ran his fingertips over the surface, as if expecting it to reveal something. When it didn't, he handed it back to Anya.
The stone is a phenomenal piece of workmanship. I should think it would fetch an astronomical sum if auctioned off.
It belongs in a museum. All of these pieces do. Just think of what this will do to the concept of human evolution on this planet. To think that there were people living here who could work metal and precious stones in this way. It's going to upset every theory of evolution to date.
I thought we were trying to figure out if these were made by people indigenous to this planet or not. I don't know if I see any way of presupposing who made these pieces. Where are the remnants of the rest of a civilization? We haven't found anything but a few scattered artifacts.
I'd like to see if we can find any bits of wreckage that support the idea of extraterrestrial visitors.
You really think this might be evidence of such a thing, Major? You think they plopped down here and then just vanished?
You said yourself there aren't any other indications that a civilization even existed here. Suppose it was a craft from somewhere else that happened upon the planet during a period in its development. Suppose they experienced an accident that destroyed their means of leaving Earth. They would then be trapped here.
Yeah, but the same problems arise. Wouldn't they leave other traces of themselves than just these bits?
Perhaps, but depending on their biological makeup, they might have simply faded away, decomposed, and become part of the very soil we're digging in.
And their spaceship? Where would that be?
I've no idea. Perhaps it is buried even deeper in the Earth, just waiting for us to excavate it.
Dave rubbed dirt from his hands, shaking his head.
No offense, Major, but this is starting to get a little absurd for me to believe. I think what we got here is proof of an earlier race of humans who were far more advanced than scientists would believe possible until this point.
I think people will be much more inclined to believe that explanation than the notion that they might have been created by aliens.
Garin stepped out of the hole and picked up his shovel.
Well, I'm going to get back to work and see if I can't find something of my own.
None of this is ours, Major. It's all for the greater good.
Garin's smile looked forced again.
Oh, of course. Most definitely. I was only joking, once again.
Dave frowned at Garin for a moment.
Yeah.
Is there a problem between us, Dave?
No. You haven't done anything. Yet.
Ah. So your animosity is simply a prediction of how you'll be feeling in the near future?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, well, okay then. You guys can beat the crap out of each other later. Zach, I'm going to take this back up to the surface and get it logged in. I don't want to take responsibility for possibly losing this.
The Colonel will be overjoyed to see it. I imagine he'll have some questions for you as well.
Garin smiled at Anya.
Why don't I accompany you back? I think some fresh air might be a good thing.
Okay, let's go.
When she could no longer hear the others, Anya glared at Garin as they walked.
What the hell are you doing here?
Is that how you greet an old friend? I was hoping for something a bit more romantic.
Keep dreaming. What gives?
I'm interested in artifacts. What can I say?
Right. Why the hell are you impersonating an army officer? Do you know how much trouble you could get into?
Please. There's nothing they can do to me. I'm perfectly safe.
Huh, you think so? Dave back there has you in his sights, and he doesn't seem convinced that you are who you say you are.
Fair point. I might have to deal with him, although I'd rather remain low profile.
No killing. I don't need that around me right now.
Are you getting soft? Old age starting to mellow you a bit?
Anya elbowed Garin hard in the side.
That feel like I'm getting soft?
Not even remotely.
You'd do well to remember that. I'm not about to take any crap from you. Zach's a good friend of mine, and I don't want anything bad happening to him.
What about Dave? Is he a good friend as well?
I just met him 2 days back.
Ah, and you trust him?
How much trust can you build in 2 days?
Depends on whether you slept with him or not. Sex can be a fantastic bond between two people, or three people, or even four.
Enough! Spare me the details of your lurid lifestyle. It grates on my nerves.
Only because you're such a prude.
I am not a prude. And stop trying to get off the topic. What the hell are you doing here? And don't feed me any lines. If I don't like what I hear, I'm liable to turn you in once we get up there.
My background is without flaw. You could tell them anything and they wouldn't believe you. I've already been thoroughly vetted.
How'd you manage that?
After all this time, do you really think I just show up without fabricating the necessary background to make certain I pass security checks? What kind of an amateur do you take me for?
All right, so you've got the paperwork. How much did that cost you?
What is money but an excuse to have some more fun?
Stop answering my questions with more questions.
You're extremely agitated about something. Is it your time of the month?
Anya pivoted and drove a right cross into his gut. Then she kneed him in the balls.
That wasn't necessary.
Oh, I think it was. Make any more cracks like that and your world is going to get a lot more painful.
All right. A truce.
Fine.
Fine. I will tell you why I'm here. I heard there were strange artifacts being found down here.
From where?
I'd rather not say. It's a very privileged source, and if I reveal it, I'm quite certain it will dry up. And I think it's in my best interests to protect it.
All right, whatever. So you heard a rumor, and what, you just decided to come on down and see for yourself?
Something like that.
But what made this dig such an interesting one to you?
Anya, how long have we known each other?
Probably too long. You're like a bad set of luggage. I can't get rid of you. You and Rue. I'll be stuck with you guys forever at this rate.
You know, it's quite likely you will at that.
Lucky me. So, what made you come down here?
The possibility that extraterrestrials created these artifacts. I need to be certain whether they were or not.
Well, join the club. But I don't think we've got anything that might even remotely prove that these are alien artifacts. In fact, I'm quite certain there's a more rational explanation for all of this.
Are you really? What makes you so certain?
It's nothing I can verbalize. Call it a gut feeling. Sometimes I have a very strong intuition about this stuff, and right now, It's not saying these are from another world.
And this intuition, is it the result of having the sword in your possession?
Maybe.
Well, it just so happens that I agree with what your intuition is telling you.
You do?
Why so shocked?
I thought you had your own theories about this stuff, and I guess I thought you were hoping that maybe they were alien in nature.
Perhaps at another time I would have, but I'm far more excited about what I think these artifacts truly represent than the possibility of little men in spaceships.
There's the condescending tone I was waiting for. At least you're being truthful, as near as I can tell.
Come, we'd better get your find up to the surface and then get back, or your buddies are liable to think you've had your way with me.
Well, heavens to Betsy, we wouldn't want them thinking that, now would we? Besides, I'd rather have flesh-eating bacteria.
Garin placed his hand over his heart and blew her a little kiss.
Whoa, that you tease me so.
Yeah, right.
Anya walked away, along the trail toward the surface. Garin followed along behind her.
Let's get back to the reason we're here. Anya, if these artifacts aren't from an alien world, then they must be from Earth, right?
That would be the logical assumption, yeah.
But then there's the problem of the history. Humans didn't start developing until long after the carbon date stamp of these items.
Well, supposedly.
Oh, please. You don't mean to tell me that you think there could have been an early race of humans with the intelligence to design and manufacture these things, do you? Where's the proof? Wouldn't we have found skeletons by now that would corroborate such a theory? Wouldn't the scientists have been able to tell that they were older bones but more developed?
Yes.
Well, where are they? They aren't here because they don't exist.
So, if these artifacts weren't made by aliens or by a race of prehistoric humans, then who made them?
Garin smiled. Ahead of them, the entrance to the shelter loomed. Anya could see people moving about inside the shelter. She paused and turned to Garin. He stopped also and looked at her inquiringly.
Come on. Tell me what you really believe.
I'm afraid we're out of time. Please see the receptionist for a slot next week.
Garin, I want to know what you think is so damned important about these artifacts.
You've been asking the wrong questions, Anya. And for me to go ahead and just give you the answers without you doing the work involved wouldn't be any kind of fun, now would it?
I could do without having to work for the answer every once in a while. I expect most people could.
Sure, but there's no fun in it. The goal is always to have fun, Anya. Always.
Why?
Because fun is the only thing I have left. Everything else has been stolen from me in this cruel world. I don't age. I don't get sick. I don't die. If I can't have fun, then truly, I am lost forever.
Anya looked at him for a moment. Garin caught her eye, and she saw it coming.
Did I fool you?
Not even close. I know you too well.
Ah, well, that's probably true. Well, here we are. Let's get this logged in, and then you and I can take a nice shower together. How does that sound?
As appealing as food poisoning.
Well, just for that, I'm not going to tell you how I think these items were made by animals. So there.
Anya lay on her bed inside the shelter with her hands behind her head on the pillow. She was tired and grumpy. Being alone seemed the best thing to do. She'd spent the better part of the afternoon digging in the cavern with Dave and Zack. Despite deep excavations, they'd found nothing else aside from the piece Anya had dug up earlier in the day. Garin, meanwhile, had refused to make himself available for elaboration on his cryptic statement about animals creating the relics. He'd been busy with Colonel Thompson throughout the day, reassuring him of elaborate security measures that Anya was certain weren't even necessary. Zack and Dave had gone for dinner, leaving Anya alone in the shelter. She had feigned a lack of appetite to get them to leave without her. She wanted time to figure out why she felt she was being played on many different fronts. Her first source of frustration was with the attempt on her life. Whom had she angered to the extent that they wanted her dead? Sure, there were plenty of people across the globe who would not shed a tear if she happened to get eaten by a great white shark or hit by a blimp, but would they bother to track her down to a remote research station in Antarctica to take her out? She didn't think so. That meant that she'd run afoul of someone local and not back in the outside world. But the only two candidates for that were back at McMurdo in Gallagher's. She wondered if Dunning had had any luck tracking them down. She also wondered about Zack and Dave. Anya felt comfortable enough with Zack. She knew him and they'd worked together in the past. She trusted him implicitly. What about Dave? At times, he moved and acted like a bumpkin of sorts. Their first meeting in particular hadn't impressed Anya. Then again, if she thought he wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer, she wouldn't figure out his true intentions. Garin's sudden appearance had surprised Anya far more than anything else that had happened thus far. She hadn't seen him for months. And to see him striding about the camp in his military regalia made her want to break out laughing. And the dig site itself confused her. She'd been on plenty, and she'd uncovered evidence before of ancient settlements, but this was completely unlike the others. Except for the discovery of the four pieces, there was no evidence that a race of people had lived here at all. There weren't any skeletons or evidence of dwellings, nor were there cave paintings or other tidbits that usually accompanied the dig sites she'd been on in the past. It was as if someone had simply thrown four bizarre relics into the ground and then left. But why would they do that? And where did they go after that? Were there other places elsewhere in the world with such relics buried in them? Or was this simply one strange incident that would have no real resolution to it at all? As much as Anya hated to admit it, there were times when that was exactly what happened. For one reason or another, things wouldn't add up. She hated that. Outside her shelter, she could see shapes passing back and forth as people walked in front of the lights. She thought of all the generators running on nuclear power and frowned. Wasn't it a violation of international law or some accord that there was nuclear power on the continent? She vaguely remembered reading somewhere that all the nations with an interest in Antarctica had signed something swearing they wouldn't bring nukes there. Of course, she was sure the Americans would swear it was their right to do whatever was necessary if they thought they'd stumbled upon something that might threaten their national security. And the other countries would clam up because no one wanted to get on their bad side. No wonder the American reputation elsewhere in the world was the pits. So what could she do about Garin? Anya sat up. Lying on her bunk wasn't accomplishing a damn thing. She checked the clock. It was just after 7 p.m. She knew a lot of people would still be at dinner. She slid her legs over the bed and got into her snow pants and boots. She zipped up her jacket and then stood by the door, cracking it just enough to get a feel for the foot traffic outside. 100 feet away, she saw two armed guards on routine patrol. The military presence was very clear, but they seemed friendly enough and obviously had orders not to interfere in the scientific process.
Cold, 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 cold.
Anya stepped outside the door. The wind took her for a step to her left until she bent her knees and lowered her weight to get her balance. Then she righted herself and walked off toward Colonel Thompson's tent. Rather than appear sneaky, Anya trudged as if she had a clear mission in mind to see the colonel. At the entrance to Thompson's shelter, she paused. At a loss for what the protocol would be, she shrugged and let herself in. A young soldier sat at the desk and looked up when Anya entered.
Can I help you, Miss Creed?
You know who I am?
We all do. Part of our orders are to know the names and face of everyone in camp.
I see. Colonel Thompson around?
No, probably off at dinner, I'd expect. Something I can help you with?
Actually, I was hoping to see Major Braden about something.
Well, he might be at dinner as well.
Well, no bother. I'll stop by his tent in a little while and ask him then.
Okay.
His tent is over by the dig site entrance, right?
Oh, no, Miss Creed. It's over by the generator station.
He's sleeping near the nuclear power core?
Oh, it's perfectly safe. And besides, he volunteered to pitch a shelter there. Said he was old enough that if he started to glow in the dark, it'd be better than any of us doing the same. Hell of a nice guy.
Isn't he, though? I'll be on my way, then. Thanks.
Anya turned and surveyed the camp. The nuclear power generator stood by itself, somewhat close to the dig site entrance, but far enough away that it seemed a little isolated. It might have been as safe as the young soldier had insisted, but psychologically, people didn't seem to want to be near it. Except for one shelter. Garin's. Anya noticed that the recent snowfall made it possible to see all the footprints in the area. She saw several sets, including what could only be Garin's large boots, leading to and from his tent. She walked carefully in one of the sets, mimicking the steps, just because she didn't feel like advertising her presence. Garin would flip if he thought she was coming to his shelter. His desire for her was ridiculous at times, and Anya wondered how much of it was an act designed to simply flatter her to the point that she dropped her guard. Garin might make for an attractive mental stimulus every once in a great while, but she would never allow herself to bed down with him. Never. The entrance to his shelter loomed ahead. Garin had apparently set his shelter up so it was literally flush with the nuclear power generator. Why would anyone, even Garin, do that? Anya glanced around the shelter but saw nothing else out of the ordinary. Cables ran from the generator out to all of the shelters, carrying the electricity that powered everything in the camp. The cold was becoming unbearable. She had to make a decision soon about whether she would stay outside or go in. Anya paused by the door.
Here goes nothing.
Good evening, Anya.
If Anya hadn't been freezing, hearing Garin's voice right behind her would have made her jump a foot. As it was, she managed to merely turn to face him. Garin looked imposing with his hood and goggles on, standing over her in the darkness. He smiled broadly.
This is a very nice surprise. One I confess I never thought I'd see happening, but there you go. Test goes to show that we can't predict the future.
We need to talk.
Well, I'm not going to talk to you out here. I'm cold and miserable. This weather is the absolute pits.
Garin walked around her and opened the door.
Interested in coming in out of the cold?
Anya stepped over the threshold. Garin grinned and followed, closing the door behind himself.
Whether your sick little imagination wants to admit it or not, this does not mean I'm here to sleep with you.
Hope springs eternal.
Yeah, right.
Garin removed his jacket and goggles, letting them fall over the small table near the entrance.
I didn't see you at dinner.
No, you didn't.
Is this going to be one of those conversations?
What kind?
The ones where you simply confirm my statements and we do some silly dance around the topic you really want to resolve?
You can tell we've been associates for too long, when you start predicting the flow of talk and all.
Well, you could always cozy up to me and take things in a direction neither of us ever expected. That might be a fun way to keep our relationship fresh.
Garin removed his snow pants. Anya glanced away.
I've got other pants on underneath, for crying out loud.
What? I wasn't sure if you were naked under there or what. Knowing you, you might have planned it that way and all.
Oh, might I?
Garin sat down on his bed and lay back on his elbows, his eyes gleaming as he watched her.
You're welcome to sit here.
Why'd you pitch your shelter near the nuclear generator?
In case you didn't notice, I'm not exactly legitimate. And frankly, I like knowing that I have some separation, just in case I need to get out of here in a hurry.
You're expecting to have to leave?
One never knows. I had to live that way for years while Rue and I tried to kill each other. After a while, that pattern gets ingrained in you. It's not something you can even choose to do or not do. It just happens.
So you've got yourself an isolated bit of glow-in-the-dark real estate here.
The reactor is perfectly safe. It's a one-of-a-kind unit, I'm told. Straight off the DARPA assembly block. This is the first unit to use them in an actual field test. So far, I'm impressed.
Anya sat on the only chair and stretched her legs.
So, what's this all about, then? Why were you lurking around my shelter, hoping to catch a glimpse of me and my skivvies?
Not even close. And I wasn't lurking. I asked where your shelter was, and here I am.
Who'd you ask?
The soldier in Thompson's tent.
Anya looked around the shelter. Garin had little in terms of personal effects. She spotted a backpack, and that was it.
That's all your stuff?
That? Yeah. I travel light these days. I make better time that way.
I haven't seen any weapons on you yet.
Just because you can't see them doesn't mean they aren't there.
Explain what you said back in the cavern.
What did I say?
Something about animals creating the artifacts we found?
Well, I say a lot of things, Anya, and often they make little to no sense at all. My mind, after all, is a bit addled.
You're not going to tell me, are you?
I could be persuaded to divulge my precious information, perhaps.
No way. I'm not bartering sex for information.
There are a lot worse ways to gain intelligence, Anya. You might give it some thought. I know I have.
I'm sure.
Anya stood and turned to the door.
Well, you're not leaving, are you?
I don't see any reason to stay.
Oh, all right, fine. So I said something about animals making the artifacts. What about it?
Do you really believe that?
Anya, really? I threw it out there because I knew it would get under your skin. And obviously, I was right. Look at how you've been obsessing about it. You're sitting here now because of one simple comment. That says a lot, I think.
It says there are too many variables that don't fit for me to completely ignore anything.
You know what I envy about you, Anya? I mean, aside from your utterly delectable body.
What?
Your inability to lie.
Oh, forget this. I'm going.
Garin just grinned and stretched languorously on his bed.
I once read the most amazing science fiction story about a mission to the moon. The astronauts dug up bones on a site.
I'm probably going to regret this. What kind of bones?
Dinosaur bones.
Dinosaurs? On the moon? That is science fiction.
Is it really? We know now that dinosaurs were actually more intelligent than previously thought. So how is it far-fetched to assume that there might have been a race of animals intelligent enough to create metal and fashion it into artifacts like the ones found in the dig site?
No, Garin. That's pure fantasy. It doesn't make sense.
Well, perhaps. But just because it doesn't make sense now doesn't mean it won't make perfect sense in the future.
Anya zipped up her jacket and eyed Garin.
I'll think about it.
Of course you will.
I wish I could say it's been fun.
Well, it won't ever be fun until you get naked and horizontal.
Good night, Garin.
Anya?
She paused and looked back. Garin lay on his bed with his eyes closed. His hands were folded across his chest as if he were a corpse resting in a coffin. Anya found the image vaguely unsettling, and she wasn't quite sure why.
What?
Garin's eyes opened, and he gave her a long look.
I think there's something you're forgetting with regard to the animals making the artifacts.
Yes?
Did Zack tell you anything about the various tests they conducted on the pieces?
Sure. He told me they ran a battery of tests trying to figure out exactly what their composition was, how old they were, that kind of thing.
And?
And what?
The metal used in the pieces, remember? It is an unknown alloy. I believe that tends to discount the theory about the race of intelligent animals, don't you?
Anya stood there for another moment and then walked back out, unsure if she'd learned anything new or just gotten more frustration for her time. Mitch was trying to reassure his employer over the satellite phone, but it clearly wasn't working.
We'll be there tomorrow. Can't we get rid of her then? Well, go ahead and complete your mission. If she gets in the way, you could always kill her. It's not our fault the snowcat broke down, and once we got back to McMurdo, we had to dodge the marshal. I'm not sure. At some point over the next day. We don't need papers. You mentioned there wasn't much of a perimeter. Is that still the case? Good. The freighter will be in the harbor within 36 hours. Once you're set to exfiltrate, they'll send in a Zodiac and get you out of there. Sure, I remember. They all die. Will do. Out.
Anya slept fitfully, tossing and turning every few minutes, trying but failing to ignore the rhythmic snores coming from Dave's side of the room. She gave up on sleep and stared at the ceiling. What had Zack said about the metal? That the artifacts had been sent out to a laboratory for analysis and that the metal hadn't registered? What did that mean? Anya rolled out of bed and nudged Zack awake. He started and then looked around.
Huh? Shh, it's me. Keep your voice down or you'll wake Dave.
Not likely. A guy could sleep through a buffalo stampede. What's the problem?
Tell me again about the necklace.
What about it? I've told you everything already. There's nothing left to tell.
Back in McMurdo, you mentioned that you had sent the necklace out for analysis, right?
Sure. Colonel Thompson handled it personally. Said he knew just where to send it.
Do you know where that was?
What, the lab?
Yes.
No, I don't. What's this all about, anyway? Why are you so curious about the lab work done on the necklace?
I want to know about the laboratory and what tests they performed. Is there any way to find out?
Well, I don't know. I mean, they've probably got it logged in somewhere. Maybe in the admin tent on the computer. Maybe in Colonel Thompson's shelter. Hell, it could be anywhere.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of.
What's bothering you so much about it?
You said the metal didn't register, right?
Yeah.
Anya leaned closer to Zack and searched his face. He blinked at her, puzzled.
Who told you the results?
Anya, you're not making any sense.
Did you read a report, or did someone tell you what the lab found out?
Well, Thompson called us all in and told us what the lab had reported. We were all cautioned not to tell anyone about it, since it could get out and cause mayhem.
So you never actually saw a report?
No.
Anya walked back to her bed and sat down on the edge.
Interesting.
What's interesting? I'm not following your train of thought here, Anya.
If you never saw the report, then who's to say it's accurate?
Zack sat up and stared at her.
You think it was faked?
It's possible.
But why? Who would fake a lab report? This is reaching, Anya. It really is.
Sometimes we have to reach. And as for who would fake a lab report, I don't know yet. But obviously it's someone who wanted to draw a lot of attention down here at the dig site.
Yeah, but for what purpose?
I don't know.
Why do you always come up with this stuff in the middle of the night anyhow?
Dave's not letting me get my beauty sleep. Tell me about how you got into this dig.
Sure, if it'll help put this all to rest. It was just after I filed my final paperwork for divorce. I was considering filing for bankruptcy because between the alimony and the child support, I was going to be sunk. There was no way I could keep up with the payments. I was depressed, lonely. I didn't even have my kids with me.
Sounds hard.
It was. I was sending out tons of resumes when I got this email from someone who had seen my resume on a networking website. Anyway, it turns out the guy was a recruiter, and he told me they had something down in Antarctica, and would I be interested in coming down? The pay was great, so I jumped at it. I think it was just what I needed to get my mind off my situation.
Nothing like a change of scenery, huh?
This is about as extreme as it gets, but yeah. I flew down, came to the site, which was a lot less elaborate than it is now.
And what was your initial briefing like?
Just that they believed that there was something peculiar about the mountain and that they had detected traces of something metallic inside the base of it. It was supposed to be for oil exploration under the guise of a scientific mission, but when they saw something unusual, they called me in.
Of course they did.
I found the necklace the first day. At that point, they wanted to know if I needed any more help. I thought of you and how much you'd be interested in this stuff, and that's when they went for you. That's it. You know the whole story.
Did it ever strike you as strange that they contacted you right after you filed your divorce paperwork?
No. I just thought it was my good timing. I was a lucky bastard to get this assignment. They're paying me enough money to take all the stress out of my life.
That's great. No one should have that much pressure.
There's something still bothering you about this, Anya.
Only everything.
Well, tell me what you're thinking. Bounce your ideas off me.
Not just yet, Zack. I need some more time to think this through. For now, I think we just need to keep on doing what we're doing.
Digging?
Yep.
I get the distinct impression you aren't much into that part of the mission, though.
I'm not.
You mind me asking why? It's not really like you.
It's nothing personal, Zack. And I'm flattered you thought of me when you were asked about help. But there's something else going on here. Something bigger, and it's occupying most of my thoughts. I can't put my finger on it yet, but I will soon enough. And when I do, I think that will be the time we need each other the most.
Okay. Well, whatever you need, Anya, you know that.
Thanks, Zack.
So, what's your next step?
I think I need to see a copy of that lab report. I need to figure out for myself if those relics really are something special or just a bunch of trinkets thrown into the ground.
Just a bunch of trinkets?
I know, it seems crazy, right?
Kind of.
Just wait. If I find what I think I'm going to find, we'll have a lot more to deal with than just a bunch of crazy extraterrestrials.
Zack flopped back down on his pillow.
Oh, great.
Anya turned over, and it was only then that she realized Dave had stopped snoring. Had he heard everything she'd said to Zack? On the way to the mess hall with Zack and Dave, Anya had mulled over what she'd been told about the lab report. Both the metallurgic results and carbon dating seemed simply too bizarre to be fact, and she was surprised that none of the other scientists had requested to look it over. This made her wonder exactly who the rest of the team was, and it was only then that she realized she'd been so preoccupied that she hadn't properly met anyone else yet. In the mess hall, Anya made a point of walking around and introducing herself to the other men and women. With each person she met, however, Anya found herself wondering exactly how they'd all been recruited for this particular mission. Anya poked at the eggs on her plate, lost in thought. Zack and Dave traded glances before Dave reached forward and tapped her hand with a finger.
Anya, what's eating you?
It doesn't make sense. Who are these people working here? Have you ever heard of any of them before?
Anya, are you saying it's necessary for you to personally know everyone in order for them to be valid researchers?
You know that's not what I'm saying, Dave. It's just that in our field, a lot of us know each other.
Yeah, but not everyone.
No, not everyone.
Well, maybe these people have been hiding under rocks for the past couple of years. Or maybe they've been working on classified projects and haven't had a chance to broadcast their work in the usual journals.
I suppose.
He's right, Anya. I think you're getting paranoid. I'm honestly wondering if it's good for you to be here any longer.
What?
I'm serious. I don't know what you were thinking last night, waking me up like that and broaching the questions that you did, but I sure as hell couldn't get back to sleep afterward.
Well, sorry, but...
The idea that someone has gone through all of this to create some sort of subterfuge, which I believe is what you've been driving at, is really just out of the ballpark. I can't buy into it.
Anya ate a forkful of eggs. She was fairly certain Dave had heard the entire conversation, so she didn't see any point in keeping it secret.
And what about the lab report?
Listen, go visit the Colonel and see if he'll let you see a copy of it. If he does and you read it over, won't that allay your fears?
Possibly.
Well, then do it. He should be at his office now anyway. I'm sure he won't mind letting you have a peek at it.
What if he does?
Well, maybe he's got a good reason. The report could have other details about stuff that we don't need to know.
And if it turns out there really is something strange going on here?
I'll apologize.
Me too. And I'll stand up on the table here and publicly tell everyone what a royal prick I've been. How's that sound?
Pretty good. And I'll hold you to that. See you guys down at the dig site later.
Outside, the weather seemed a little warmer with the wind calmed down, but it was still brilliantly cold. Colonel Thompson's administration center lay ahead of her, and Anya headed straight for it. As she walked through the snow, she rehearsed what she intended to say to Thompson when she saw him. She reached for the door and pulled it open.
Colonel Thompson?
Anya stopped. The shelter was empty. She frowned. She could see the bank of computers sitting on the back table. Each one of them had a screensaver blipping across the screen in random order. Anya glanced back outside. All it would take was a few quick keystrokes to see if the report was on there. And if she could get access to it, and a printout, that might be all the proof she needed that something was going on here. It was worth a shot, wasn't it? She moved around the receptionist's desk and toward the back of the shelter. She glanced back at the door and then turned toward the screen. As soon as she touched the first key, the screen blossomed into light. A single prompt asked for a password. Anya frowned. Great. Security even down here. She paused and tried a number of entries. Each one produced no results. Worse, the prompt told her she had only two more tries before it locked itself down. Anya thought and then typed Thompson into the computer and hit enter. The screen flashed and asked for another password. Anya typed the same string and hit enter. The screen flashed red and then informed Anya that she was being frozen out of the system.
Damn. Crap.
Anya hustled back around the table. The door opened, and the young soldier she'd spoken with yesterday came in. He took a look at Anya, then at the computer in the back, and then back at her.
Can I help you with something, Miss Creed?
Oh, sorry. I was just trying to access my email.
The soldier typed a few keys and rebooted the computer Anya had frozen. He frowned at her.
The computers are off limits to non-military personnel.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know.
Some things we shouldn't have to tell you guys, for crying out loud. If the colonel gets wind of this, he's gonna be pissed.
We don't have to bother him with that, do we? I'm sure he's busy and all, and that kind of thing would probably just put him in a bad mood.
You're damned right it would. He doesn't like anyone messing around with the system. It's not like we got a tech unit to come in here and fix things if we get buggy. We need these things running in top condition all the time.
I'm sorry. It won't happen again. I promise.
The corporal looked at her for a moment before his face relaxed into a smile.
Yeah. All right. Don't worry about it. I get lonely for some email myself. Stinks not being able to talk to my friends back home.
You've been with the colonel for a long time?
Only a couple months, actually. I graduated tech school and got assigned to him once I passed a security background check. That took the longest time.
Must be nice working for him. I'll bet you know all his behavioral patterns and stuff like that.
I can tell when he's not happy. Like yesterday, he wasn't too nice to be around.
Anya leaned against the desk and put on the best look of bland curiosity she could manage.
Oh? Why do you think that was?
I don't know. I thought I heard him saying something about incompetence, but I can't be sure. He spends a lot of time in his shelter. He and Major Braden seem to have a lot to talk about.
Anya looked around the shelter.
So, is this it for you? You just sit here all day and do nothing?
I file reports, take in reports, and get stuff signed and send it out. Yeah, that kind of thing. It gets boring sometimes, but I like the job.
How's the communication system? You're set up for satellite relays, right?
Yep. We've got times when we can get a clear stream of communication back to the States, and other times we have to bounce stuff around. That's when things are good. But during the blackout times, it sucks.
Blackout?
When we don't have any satellite coverage. We're totally alone then. Hell, someone could come down here and wipe us out. If it's during that blackout window, no one would know anything about what happened to us.
That's a bit scary.
Tell me about it. I get the shakes just thinking about it.
How often do you have blackout periods?
Every day. One in the early morning and one toward the end of the day. They're like clockwork.
And there's no way to get a message out during those times?
Well, if you've got a landline, sure you could. But there ain't no landlines down here, so you'd need your own sat phone on a different network. Something that doesn't use a defense satellite to send through.
That would take some doing.
Yep, sure would.
Anya leaned closer to the soldier and smiled warmly at him.
I was hoping to see the colonel and ask him a few questions.
About what?
The report from the laboratory about the nature of the artifacts that were found.
What do you want to see that for?
I've got some questions about the carbon dating exactitude algorithm that I need cleared up. It's pretty complicated stuff, but if I can see the report, it'll help me understand a little better about what it is we've got down here.
I hear they're from outer space.
Could be, but I won't know until I see the report. Is there any way you could see your way to helping me get a copy of it?
I would, sure, but I don't have access to it.
Why not? I thought you were in charge of everything here.
Well, most things, yeah, but not stuff like that. It's top secret stuff that gets read only by the colonel. Maybe Major Braden, too, but I'm not sure. Anyway, they get to read it, and then I'm pretty sure it gets destroyed.
Destroyed?
If it's a hard copy, they'll burn it. If it's an email, they'll delete the file and make sure it can't be undeleted.
And they don't read the reports here?
I'm not supposed to be telling you this, or anyone else for that matter. But when a classified message comes in, I route it to the colonel's private terminal in his shelter.
He's got a computer in his tent?
Yep.
That must be nice, huh?
Rank has its privileges, ma'am.
Indeed it does. Well, maybe I'd better go see the colonel then about getting a copy of the report for myself, huh?
You can try, but I don't think he'll let you see it.
Why not?
It's classified stuff. Anything related to this dig site has already been classified top secret. That means unless you have the proper security clearance, identification, and a need to know, you aren't going to get a copy of it.
I don't suppose you can whip me up any of that stuff here, can you?
Afraid not, Miss Creed. I'd be glad to help you out, but I can't. Far as I know, the colonel doesn't show that stuff to anyone. He said something one time about things needing to be kept compartmentalized. Otherwise, we'd have havoc back home if people knew we were looking at alien artifacts and whatnot.
I suppose that makes sense. Do you know if the colonel is over at his shelter now?
I don't know. I think he's still at breakfast. He and Major Braden have been hanging out quite a bit, but I think that's because the Colonel really enjoys talking to him about security and stuff.
Yes, that Major Braden certainly has an eye for security.
Your best bet is to wander over and knock on his door. Who knows? He might just be there.
Thank you. I'll do that.
Outside, in the dim light, the snow fell harder, pelting the few bits of exposed skin she had. The frozen landscape was brutal, and as the wind screamed in her ears, the entire environment seemed almost entirely dead. Colonel Thompson's shelter was several yards away from the admin shelter, and Anya moved quickly. She pondered how best to get the lab report. There would be a security system of some sort on his laptop. She'd need a password, and without knowing anything of his past, she'd have a hard time guessing it. Still, there might be a way. Instead of heading for the Colonel's shelter, Anya turned and headed for her own shelter. She stripped out of her parka and gloves on the way to her cot. She dumped her gear unceremoniously on the floor as she sat on the bed, flipped open her laptop, and booted it up.
Crap. I need a sat phone. Wait.
She glanced over at Dave's bag. She'd seen him unpack it earlier in the trip when they first arrived. He had a sat phone. Anya hurried to the door and listened, but heard no one heading toward her shelter. She turned and went right for Dave's bag. The sat phone was about 12 inches long, and Anya found a USB jack on the side of it that she could hook up to her laptop. She went back to her bed and connected the phone to her computer. She switched it on and found her way to the internet dial-up connection. It was extremely slow working on dial-up rather than broadband, but at least she had a line out. She headed right for the message board she knew her hacker friend Nightmare always hung out on. Nightmare was a 16-year-old from Beverly Hills who enjoyed raiding all sorts of cryptic government files just for the fun of it. He certainly didn't need any money. Nightmare's father was the head of a software company that had just gone public for billions of dollars. In the forum area, she typed a quick note.
Kay, it's Diggeray. Drop me a line. Got a project for you.
Then she sat back and waited. No sooner had she posted it than her email indicator light turned green. Anya clicked over and saw it was from Nightmare requesting webcam. Anya clicked on her Yahoo Instant Messenger video feed and peered into the camera on her laptop. An instant later, Nightmare's face popped up on her screen.
Yo, Digger, you rang?
Guess where I am?
Someplace cold, judging from the parka.
Antarctica.
No shit.
Really? But I need your help.
What's up?
I'm on a covert government job right now. I need to get access to a computer network that is linked up to a defense satellite communication system. Can you help out?
That's a tall order, pretty lady. Defense networks alone are a tough game, but via satellite is tougher still. Their SAT systems have multi-level encryption designed to kick out the genuinely curious, such as myself.
Can you or can't you help?
Of course I can. Give me a sec.
Anya watched him rummage through some file cabinets near his desk. He pulled out a number of CDs and started flipping through them.
No. I've really got to start labeling my software.
Knight, I'm not sure how long I have this phone for. I didn't exactly ask to borrow it.
He nodded and slipped a CD into the computer.
Oh, okay. What's the network protocol? Digger, you're making this tougher than it has to be.
I don't know what the protocol is. I'm on a classified government operation here. They don't exactly broadcast it, you know?
Fine. Where are you then?
Horlick Mountain.
Hang on. I have to find out the latitude and longitude, and then overlay that with the geosynchronous orbits of all known defense satellites. Okay, got it. Let's see. Navstar 5.
Did you say Navstar?
Yeah, why?
Never mind. Keep going.
Knight kept typing. His fingers seemed to fly over the keys, and his eyes never left the screen. It felt weird seeing him look at the computer with such intensity. He wasn't even looking at Anya, but it felt as if he were.
Hang on. I have to route this through a number of cutouts so they can't trace it back to me. If they do, I'm screwed. My dad says he'd take my computer away.
Oh, no, not that.
Yeah, I'd be forced to hack through my PSP instead, and that's no fun. Let's see, Rio, Dubai, Tokyo, Manila, Johannesburg, Stockholm, back to Cape Town, over to Mumbai, and then back to Wellington. That last one should give them pause.
How you doing?
At any moment, Anya figured Dave would definitely come through the door and see her on his sat phone. Then she'd have a lot of explaining to do.
Hang on. I'm picking up the stream of communications now. This'll give me the information I need to tap into it. It should be small. How many computers have you seen where you are?
Maybe 5 or 6.
So they can't have a lot of traffic flowing back and forth. That helps me narrow it down. Okay, I think I've got it. Stand by.
Anya watched him clicking the keys and then saw the broad smile splash across his face.
I'm in.
Can you get into the computers?
No, I just hooked onto their network. Cracking the security will take me a little longer. But at least I've got access. You proud of me or what?
Excessively, but I need access to one particular computer terminal.
Is it on the network?
Yeah, I think so, yes. One of the people I spoke to said that traffic and emails were sent over to that terminal.
Good, that means I can piggyback onto it. You know where it would be?
Well, it wasn't grouped with the other 5 computers, if that's what you're asking.
Let me try something. Got it.
You found the computer?
Yep. Registered to a Colonel Thompson. Next time tell me, okay? That would have cut down on my time by like 30 seconds.
Sorry.
What do you need to know?
You're into his computer?
Working on it. I'm not Superman, you know. Looks like he's got a nice long alphanumeric string here. Time for me to step aside and let the icebreaker do its thing.
Icebreaker?
Little program I wrote some time back. It can crunch numbers and letters roughly 10,000 times faster than I can. In a single minute, it can sometimes break a computer code. Cool, huh?
Very.
Nightmare slapped a new CD into the computer.
Hold on just a sec.
Anya looked at the door. Did someone just walk by outside? She thought she could see a shadow in the light silhouetted against the wall of the shelter. Was it Dave? Or maybe Garin?
Knight, any luck on that?
I need another minute. I'm going as fast as I can.
Go faster. My cover might be blown here at any second.
Hold on, I think I got something.
Anya leaned closer to the computer, as if she wanted to be right there, looking over Knight's shoulder as he read his screen.
Yep, I got it. I'm in his hard drive.
I need a certain file.
Which one? There are a lot of them here. Looks like... looks like the Colonel likes his pornography, too.
I don't need that.
What's the name of the file?
Look for something labeled... something like laboratory report or something similar.
Hang on.
The walls of the shelter kept the noise to a minimum, and it was difficult trying to figure out if the voices she heard were of Dave and someone else talking or not.
Look, Knight, I need that file.
There's nothing here, Digger. No files like that one.
Nothing?
Nope.
Can you send me any documents on the hard drive?
Well, yeah, but you're on a dial-up connection, right? It would take a while.
Send me anything from the past week or so.
That's much better. Just 3 files. I'm sending them to you now.
Anya hit refresh, and then after another grueling minute, saw her green light flash. She had mail.
I think that's it. I gotta get off the line now. They detected me on the system. Be careful. There's a chance they could work it back to you if they know you've got a sat phone.
They don't.
Be careful anyway. I'm out.
Anya's screen went dark, and she quickly unplugged the sat phone and put it back in Dave's backpack. She rushed back to her bed and sat down with her laptop as the door to the shelter opened and Dave walked in. Anya looked up and smiled.
Hey.
Hey yourself. Any luck with Thompson?
Nah, he wasn't in, so I just left and came back here. I wanted to jot down a few ideas I had in my journal. Nothing too elaborate, but, you know.
Listen, sorry about how Zach and I got all over you at the cafeteria.
It's all right.
No, it's not. You've obviously got some thoughts on this, and we didn't respect them. I'm sorry for my part, and I hope you weren't too offended.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
You coming to the dig site? I was just on my way down there when I thought I'd stop by and see if you were here.
Anya glanced at her laptop. She wanted to read that file now, badly. But staying might look suspicious. Instead, she closed her laptop and smiled.
Yeah, I'm coming. Just let me get my stuff.
Anya unzipped her parka as she and Dave walked down the dark stone tunnel to the dig site. Only moments before, she'd been out in the freezing wind, but now the transition to the comparative warmth was starting to make her sweat as her body tried to adjust to the changes.
All this exposure to extremes of temperature can't be good for my health. Anyone ever do any research to see how that affects the human body?
I don't know, but I'd rather be warm than cold.
You okay?
Huh? Oh yeah, fine. I was just thinking about something, that's all.
What about?
Well, we are basically inside a mountain here, surrounded on all sides by rock and dirt. All that weight above and below us, pushing in on all sides like some giant vise.
Are you trying to make me claustrophobic?
Is it working?
Remind me to tell you about the time I was locked in a coffin for several hours.
Underground?
No, in a funeral home, but the effect was the same. I had to make peace with being in that tight spot. And those caskets are remarkably airtight. I barely made it out of there alive.
That must have been one for the journal.
The what?
Journal. What you were working on when I came back to the shelter.
Well, yeah, it would have been, but I wasn't keeping a journal back then. That's only something I took up recently when my life started taking strange twists and turns that even I can't figure out.
Like coming down to the bottom of the world?
Exactly. What about you? Do you ever write things down?
Never.
Secretive, huh? Got all sorts of things no one should ever know about rattling around in your head?
Something like that. Turn here.
Anya turned at the fork in the tunnel.
Is Zach already down here?
Yeah, he said he was going straight from breakfast.
Cool.
As Anya walked, she could see more light coming from stationary lamps set up at the dig site. When she walked through the cavern opening, she was surprised to see Colonel Thompson standing there. Garin stood nearby. Zach was in one of the holes, still working his shovel furiously. Dirt and grime stained his face and his coveralls. Colonel Thompson looked up.
Hello, Miss Creed. Nice of you to come on down at last.
Sorry, I had to finish up a few things in my shelter.
Oh?
Just some notes.
Ah, of course. So, Zachary here tells me that you're a bit obsessed with the laboratory analysis report regarding the necklace.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm obsessed with it. I'd just like to see it.
Well, I'm afraid you're not allowed to see that report. There are other things going on here besides your scientific study of this area and the dig for various artifacts.
Such as?
Such as I'm not going to get into it with you at the moment. Surely you can appreciate the need for the strictest confidentiality in this regard.
Well, to some extent, yes. But it seems like the security of this place is stifling the search for the truth.
It's doing no such thing.
Isn't it? That report might shed some light on where these relics come from. We can't fathom them being created here on Earth around the time the carbon-dated stamp supposedly says they were made, nor is the metal alloy apparently something that was created here. But all of that is secondhand information. You told the scientists that, rather than letting them see the report.
Thompson's expression darkened, and Anya felt cold prickles dancing along her spine.
You seem to be implying that I lied about the analysis results.
I'm not implying that at all. I'm merely pointing out how strange it is that we weren't allowed to see it.
I'm sure there are lots of things you haven't been privy to in the past, Miss Creed. Another report shouldn't make that much of a difference to you, should it?
Anya glanced at Garin, who kept his eyes focused on the wall of the cavern.
I want to know what I'm dealing with here. What we're dealing with. Not having all of the information makes it that much harder to come to a conclusion about this. Which is, I thought, why I'm down here in the first place.
You're down here because Zachary here wanted you with him. He said your expertise would be invaluable to the project.
My expertise is in research and knowledge of ancient cultures and texts and relics. Anyone can dig big holes in the side of a mountain. If you're not happy with my presence here, then you can always send me back home.
I wish it were that easy, but it's not. As you know, the winter is closing in on us.
So call the flyboys back.
The weather is far too dangerous for them to make the run again. If they flew in now, there's a very good chance we'd lose the entire plane and crew. We can't take those odds.
I could go by ship then.
Again, the winter is against you here. Ice packs are already threatening to close off the harbor port. We'll have to wait it out, I'm afraid.
So what? We come to terms about how you're best able to use me?
If you stop pestering me about the report.
Without that report, I won't be able to tell you what I think. I won't be able to give you my best informed decision about what these relics could possibly be.
Colonel Thompson looked at her and then smiled, which made Anya's sense of danger sharpen.
And yet somehow, I think at the end of this, we'll have a much better idea of where we stand.
If you say so.
Oh, I do, Miss Creed. Very definitely.
Anya looked again at Garin, but the man's face seemed utterly impassive. She wondered again what his place was in all this.
Well, we'll leave you to your work. Major, with me, please.
Garin followed him out of the cavern, leaving Anya, Dave, and Zack there by themselves. Dave eyed Anya.
What was that all about?
I guess he doesn't want me to look for the report.
Were you looking for it?
Dave, I did what you guys suggested I do. I went to his admin shelter, spoke to the soldier there about getting the report, and he told me to take it up with Thompson himself. I went to his private shelter and he wasn't there, so I went back to our shelter and that's where you found me.
Okay.
You guys didn't happen to bring any water with you, did you? I'm parched.
I can get some. Be right back.
Anya watched him leave. Then she turned back to Zack, who leaned on his shovel.
How are you holding up?
Huh? I'm fine. Why?
Just wondering.
Anya, is everything all right with you? You seem further and further away every time I look at you. I'm worried.
I'm concerned about what we're doing here. Things don't seem right. And I can't get any answers from people. And no one seems willing to talk straight about what is up here.
You heard the colonel. It's classified.
Yeah, classified, whatever. You and I aren't soldiers, Zack. We're scientists. And as such, our priority is the search for the truth.
Actually, Anya, my number one priority right now is that paycheck I've been promised. I need that money to take care of my obligations and my children. As far as I'm concerned, the truth is going to have to take a back seat on this one.
I understand. Really, I do. But I can't begin to figure out how this is all fitting together.
Maybe you're not supposed to figure it out. Maybe it's supposed to be one big hodgepodge of junk that doesn't have any rational explanation.
I hate that.
But don't you see? How many people go through life thinking they're going to figure out all the deepest, darkest mysteries? Probably a lot, right?
Yeah.
But does anyone ever really do that? Is there really any rhyme or reason to why we're here? I haven't seen it yet. To me, life is just a series of random equations and variables. We were the end result of one of those equations. But trying to spend your time matching us up with other equations and theorems just doesn't work. It eats you up inside. In the end, we're all dead anyway. Just relax. Try to be a little zen about all this.
Anya dropped her parka on the ground and slid into the hole at the far corner, picking up her shovel.
Yeah, well, I'm not so sure I can follow that philosophy myself, but for your sake at least, I'll give it a try.
Really?
Well, at least for the next 5 minutes.
Fair enough.
Dave came back into the cavern and handed them each a bottle of water.
I miss anything while I was gone?
Zack took a long pull on his water and shook his head.
Anya is thinking about trying a new approach to life.
Really?
It's temporary. I don't know how good I'd be at it anyway.
Yeah, well, apparently you made quite the impression on the colonel with your impassioned speech.
Excuse me?
Well, I just ran into him back up by the entrance. He asked me to tell you to report to a shelter later on when we're done here. Says he's got some things to talk over with you.
Well, perhaps there's something to be said for being a stubborn pain in the ass after all, huh, Zack?
If he gives you the report, then I'll concede defeat. Until then, get back to digging, okay?